Welcome back. Welcome in the Lion's Share Podcast Walkthrough Wednesday edition ahead of Super Wild Card Weekend. It's here, folks. The playoffs are here, and the Lions are hosting a playoff game. It feels oh so right. They've got to take on the West Coast folks, the Los Angeles Rams, the Red Hot Rams, we might add, winners of six of their last seven. So no easy foe. Lions are going to have to come out with some insane control fury in this one. Strap in. We've got a lot to cover in this episode. We had Michigan win the national championship, and we'll hope that that's signs of things to come for the state of Michigan. More on that later in the college football segment. We've got the college football expert on again. Prior to college football, we'll discuss the other five wildcard matchups that are a part of this weekend, as well as the growing number of NFL coaching vacancies and one big name in college football moving on. We'll talk about that later. Now it's on for the Lions versus the Rams, first and foremost, as always, on the Lions Share Podcast. Ford Field's going to be rocking this weekend like we've never seen it before. And I would put the local area on notice of any seismic activity, because this literally could cause an earthquake, I think, this weekend. What's your guys' thoughts going into the first playoff game in a long time for us, and the first one in our lifetime in Detroit? Andrew, what are you feeling like? Are you taking it day by day, trying not to get too hype?
I'm just kind of living in the moment, living for everything, you know, taking a little advice from J.J. McCarthy. Might do a little bit of yoga, take my socks off, get planted and rooted with the ground and the surface. But yeah, I'm just excited to be here, to be a part of it. Dan Campbell's got me rocking and a rolling. Amon-Ra with the blue hair. You can tell all the boys are fired up.
Yeah, I thought about going with the blue myself personally. You know, I might go down to the local JCPenney and get me the blue special, the Honolulu blue special. Now, Mitch, What are you feeling? Obviously, you were there week two against the Seahawks. You said it was a pretty electric atmosphere. How much multiplied do you think it's going to be this week?
It's going to be insane. I think it's the first playoff game. Is it the first? Yeah, first playoff game in Ford Field history. It's first playoff game in forever. It's for so many different reasons. It's drama. It's excitement. It's just going to be incredible. I'm very envious of anybody that gets to go to the game. You know, we'll get into this later, but I would like to see, and I don't know about you guys, I'd like to see them start the game with a Stafford tribute video for the good juju. I don't like this no Stafford jersey thing going around. I think that's bad karma. I don't like it. I don't want to hear any of the boo birds out there. No bueno, but the stadium's going to be insane. That energy is going to be palpable throughout the city.
Yeah, who came up with the no Stafford jersey thing? I saw that as well, but was that an official source, or was that just some super fan?
I think it was a super fan, and I didn't even know about it until Lady Line number two brought it up, because she follows Kelly Stafford on social media. And as we know, Kelly likes to address things. She didn't do it terribly. I think she just kind of said like, oh, this is a bummer. Like, this is the opposite of how we feel about Detroit. And, you know, Matt's always been their bigger guy, and we're just hoping for a great game this weekend, whatever. It sucks. Like, that's just like, again, I think they will. I'm hopeful. I don't know what you guys would think about a tribute video. I think like a minute long highlight. Thank you, Matthew. But very appropriate, and starts the day off on the right foot.
Maybe after the game, after the win.
Okay, I don't know if it's as meaningful.
Send him out like a Viking ship.
No, I agree with Mitch. I'd like to see something pregame. Keep it brief, keep it short and sweet, and then it's in between the lines. You know, your enemies. That's the way I see it. I don't want to provide. I don't like that this no Stafford jersey thing. I don't want to provide Los Angeles any billboard material. Those guys, you know, have won a Super Bowl. A lot of those guys have rings already with that same team. They don't need any extra motivation. So don't, if I have one gripe with, you know, Lions fans are passionate, but sometimes they do this BS where things like this happen. And I just, it puts a bad taste in my mouth, and it worries me a little bit. I'll be honest. I don't want to see that motivation for Stafford, and I don't want to see the bad blood. Like, yes, between the lines, all bets off. All is fair in love and war. But you got to respect that he left on good terms and provided years and years of service to Detroit. So that's all I really have to say about it. But yeah, I think I'm on the side of you, Mitch, for sure. And Andrew, after the game, I don't think that's going to work, brother. I don't think that's going to work.
Yeah. Lions win. He's on his way off the field. It's like, thank you, Matt.
Well, if you do want to get in the door for this game, you know, ticket prices are fluctuating quite a bit, but they're hovering around $400 for minimum to get in the game. That puts you at the most expensive wild card game of all time. And Mitch is saying live in time right just now is again. That the yep. stocks just went up. Huh?
It's going up. They're going up. I look to get 30 rows up on the 50, which obviously it's the 50, $700. To get in the door, including fees, $540.
You know, I mean, really, that's not awful for a playoff game. I don't think.
San Antonio oil money. We knew it.
Well, look, how much? You don't have to say it if you're not comfortable, but do you know what you paid for the tickets that you got for week two?
It was around 100, maybe 115, somewhere in there.
Okay. So, yeah. All right. Fair enough. Cowboys Packers is your second highest, at least the last check that I had, at $190. So the Lions game is over double anybody else. And the Chiefs Dolphins game, the Snow Bowl, the Ice Bowl, whatever you want to call it, the Frozen Ice Tundra, you can get in for $53 because people are dumping tickets left and right because they don't want to sit out in that cold. Originally, it was Buccaneers Eagles was pretty cheap to get into. And then once the forecast started getting closer for Chiefs Dolphins, it dropped like a rock, just like the temperature is about to across the whole United States. We got an Arctic blast coming to pretty much every state in the continental U.S. So, yeah. Anyways, let's talk about
the temperature in San Antonio. Go ahead.
We've got 58 right now here at 6:53 p.m.
Say what you want to say about next week.
Okay. So, do you guys remember? Obviously, we've got some notes in here from the last time these two teams met up. You know, this isn't Stafford's first game against the Lions. This is his first game against Lions in Detroit. So, do you remember much from that 2021 game besides the notes that I listed here? I went back and watched the highlights from that game, and you know, that was the team that went on to win the Super Bowl. The Rams did, and the Lions did not have a win yet in that game. I think they're 0-6 coming into that one, or 0-5. So what do you guys remember from the last time these two teams met?
The score was closer than I think the game ever felt. I think the fake punt made me have hope, but I don't think the Lions ever stood a chance in that game.
No, Lions were fresh rebuild. Goff was still Goff of old, and, you know, kind of shows the reason why the Rams moved on from him. That's kind of the narrative for me that gets overlooked in this matchup between them, is that, you know, Goff is the guy that was stepped aside. He should have the bigger chip on his shoulder. That's my big thing and my big takeaway from last game, though. Don't remember a whole lot. Lions, you know, still rebuilding phase, resting their laurels on Penei Sewell at that point, and just trying to get him and that rebuild under control.
Yeah.
Goff just said this week, the chip's never going to go away.
Yeah, no doubt he's got the bigger chip, right? I mean, Matthew kind of left on his own terms, you know, kind of a mutual agreement. And then he meets up with McVay down in the Bahamas or wherever they were. And, you know, 2 weeks later, they're running through the playbook together. So that was kind of the history. But obviously, Andrew, you sent me that. The Stafford and the Goff numbers, very eerily similar, right?
Too close to each other. I think, what, same touchdown thrown this year, pretty much yardage wise, very similar as well. You're going to have to read off the stats if you got them in front of you. I don't have them in front of me, but yeah, I what was the only difference? I think there was one difference.
There's a few differences. And if you want to look at all the games that they've played in, since they did the team swap, pretty lockstep with all of them. And actually, if you want to talk just numbers, which doesn't tell you the whole story, but if you want to talk just numbers, Goff has the better numbers by a slim margin, of course. Matthew is more of a gunslinger quarterback. He's going to throw a lot more of the interceptions and, you know, try to get the ball down the field. Goff a little bit more down the middle and dink and dunk his way down the field. But yeah, all very similar numbers. And, you know, I don't think it's even close in terms of who you would want to have as your quarterback. It's obvious answer is Stafford. Right, there's your, like, Andrew, I can't read that, brother. Like you're putting it closer, but it's not going to focus, brother. Why don't you just read them to us?
I'll read them to you. So wins tied at 24, completion percentage. This is the weird one for me because there's two different styles of football. Both tied 66% completion percentage. And this is since 2021. Turnovers, both lockstep with turnovers, 41 apiece, which is wild to think about. I would think Goff has a few more, but, you know, looking back on it, Stafford did tend to turn the ball over quite a bit. Goff's got him in the passer rating pretty close there, 96.5 to 95.8. And the big one is passing touchdowns. Goff barely gets them by 3, 78 to 75.
Okay, so there it is. Yeah. I think if you would have looked at that last year, Goff would have definitely had him in terms of the turnovers. Goff would have had a lot less. Goff has had more turnovers this year for sure, at least at the rate that he's had them in that stretch of, you know, six games or whatever it was just after the bye or around the bye, and had the interceptionless streak going through last year. So I think that's the only reason that they're tied now. I think it's just kind of a, you know, rising tide for both of them. And they kind of meet in the middle there. So there you go. Let's talk about what this game is. It's going to be on Sunday Night Football on NBC. Mark your calendars for 8 o'clock. Normally Sunday Night Football at 8:15. It's actually right at the top of the hour, 8 o'clock this week. A little bit earlier for you folks trying to get to bed after this one. Mike Tirico, Chris Collinsworth on the call. This will be Tirico's first game, first Lions game since the infamous, who could forget, the Astros game, week one of the season, kicking off the football season. The Lions beat the Chiefs. Obviously, the Chiefs had Kelce out and Chris Jones was out. And so at the end of the win there, we heard the infamous line from Tirico that, you know, put an asterisk on this one. So it'll be interesting to see how fans greet him back in Michigan for this one. Craig Rolstad, he's going to be the head referee for this one. Fun fact about him, 63% of the games he's repped this season, the home team has won. So if you're talking about referees in this one, the Lions might actually, for once, have an advantage here at home. And that's rare for the Lions.
Don't get your hopes up.
Yeah, don't get your hopes up. It'll probably be a flip-flop game, and the Lions will have 10 penalties, and the Rams will have 4. But we'll see. Mentioned it, Rams have won 6 of their last 7. They started the year 3-5 and rallied their way back to make the playoffs. They've lost to San Francisco, Cincinnati, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Dallas, and Baltimore. Only one of those teams isn't in the playoffs. Cincinnati, the one team that they lost to, that's not a playoff team. All the other ones, playoff teams. So they've got a lot of good losses, put it that way. They had a strong schedule, battle-tested team, and definitely got a little grit to them as well. So Lions turnover differential has gotten back to 0. We were at -5 at one point in this season. Now the Lions have rallied it back to an even 0. The Rams sits at -3, so opportunity there to get some turnovers from the Rams as they do have a negative differential. Injuries. Last thing before we talk about posts. Injuries. Obviously, Laporta, the big one. Sam Laporta, participant in walkthrough Wednesday today. Not practicing, but walking through. So, hard to say what that means, but hopefully a glimmer of hope that he may rally and play in this game. We'll know officially on Friday afternoon whether he's going to actually put the pads on or not. So I want to ask you guys this. If Laporte is out of this game, who do you think makes up for, you know, across the middle, down the seams, and who can step up in that middle of the field?
I think it's going to be Mitchell. I think they're going to focus on Mitchell. It'll be more of what we saw last year, where you'll have Brock right in the running situations and Mitchell will come in the pass play situations.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they're going to be, we'll see if they're going to be used as more of a decoy, but I think you got to get more of Amon-Ra and Jameson Williams involved in the middle. Use their speed. If they get any sort of cushion in the middle, they can take off and run. And you know Amon-Ra with that hair. I think he's ready to step up.
What do you think? What do you guys think about the hair? Love it? Hate it?
Love it.
Love it for the situation. Don't know if it's his color, though.
Yes, actually, Andrew's correct.
Andrew, you want to talk about your pose?
Certainly, certainly can. We'll start off. First thing for the defense, we got Pikachu, and we got a couple another Pokemon and Koopa Cup there. Don't let them get behind the back of the defense. You got to keep them in front of you. I know they're good after the catch, but Amon-Ra's better after the catch. And I think that's what the offense has to do on their side of the ball. Get him going early and often. And as soon as everybody starts stepping up to control him underneath, you hit J-Mo going deep. And that's the biggest thing. Another side note and one more little stat for you. Matthew Stafford has thrown the most interceptions in Ford Field at 78. Let's do it a favor, defense. Let's get that to an even 80.
Love it. I've got a couple. Rams have a run game. Stafford's a bigger concern here against a suspect secondary. I don't think we have to expand on that, really. You have to control Stafford. Don't get beat in the air. Make him uncomfortable. Get some pressure with the D-line and mix in some blitz packages. Gotta keep Rams offense contained. Our offense will handle itself.
Couldn't agree more. My notes, keeping it simple with this one, just win the turnover battle. The Rams love to turn the ball over. They did it three times against the Giants. The Giants still lost the game because they went for two and ended up losing by one and had a couple other issues down the stretch. They couldn't run the ball. I think their leading rusher was their quarterback, Tyrod Taylor, and only had 40 yards. So that was more the story for that. But I liked what they did defensively. The Rams still put up 26 points, I believe, in that one. But they did turn the ball over three times, and they had Stafford kind of in a tizzy. So that's what I've got for the Poe. I'd like to see him win the turnover battle handedly, kind of like what Andrew said. Would love to see two interceptions. If not, an interception and a fumble, or two interceptions, a fumble, whatever. I think if you can get two or three turnovers, that's going to be a huge key in this. And like Mitch said, the offense is going to take care of itself. So trust in the offense. Do your job. And defense, just try to tread water. I mean, unfortunately, I don't think there's any more you can ask for from the defense. Like, are you guys kind of mentally preparing yourselves for seeing that on Sunday? Like, it's just going to kind of happen, and you hope that they don't kill him with it.
Yeah, they're going to get tore up.
Yeah, unfortunately, the gunslinger is going to be there. He's going to be throwing it at all sorts of angles. We're probably going to hear that from Collinsworth. Look at the angle on this delivery. I can
this is
hear
Matthew
it.
Stafford at his finest.
That's exactly it. So I'm ready for it. Just hopefully we can keep him in front of everybody.
Oh, here's a guy. He's going to throw at least a couple. Here's guys in there, no doubt. Hopefully, at least we get a nice slide in. Is he still doing the slide in? Think he retired the slide, huh? All right, this is the parts where Mitch always likes to thinks it's funny, where they just go radio silence. All right, great. I don't know. I'm more curious to see what we get out of Tirico after if we get an apology for this one. I'll start with my prediction. You guys led the way with the pose. I will lead us off in the predictions of the scores. I've got a high-scoring one here, 34-27, and I'm talking about a Lions victory. Lions 34-7 over the or 34-27 over the Crams. I gave them the moniker Crams because they're cramming in wins the last couple weeks of the season. I think they're going to lose the C, and they're just going to be the Rams this week. And the Lions, they're going to come out victorious. The NFL wants Lions Cowboys again. They're going to do all they can to make it happen. They know the ratings were great. They know what a Dallas Detroit matchup in the playoffs would be multiplied by. And so I've got the Lions winning it here and getting themselves a non-asterisk win.
Yeah, I also have a close one here. I got Lions winning 35 over the Rams 31. I know Dan loves to have the ball last and run out the clock or either put points up, but I really think he's going to leave it in his defense's hands here at the end, going to let Stafford make that last drive as time expires and come up just short.
I've got another high-scoring affair, Lions 31, Rams 28. I think it's just going to be a shootout. I think bold prediction, Aleem, Hutch, and Anzalone all record a sack on the day. Again, Aleem's going to get there. Hutch is going to get there. Got to mix in the blitz package. Starts to make Stafford uncomfortable. Updated lines. Lions minus three. So money's moving towards the Rams. And we moved a half a point up on the over-under. So they got the hook on us now.
Those bastards. Yeah, I don't see it not being a high-scoring affair. I don't see both these teams not getting into the 20s, if not the 30s.
But we thought about the Cowboys-Lions, though, right? I mean, but I do think it's high-scoring. Ugh, God, yeah. It just makes you nervous. It's fun. It's fun for the casual NFL fan. It's a diaper game, though. I'll defer to you, but I think this might be a double dipe.
First home playoff game in 30 years? Say less.
All ups.
I don't know what I'm going to do pregame, but I'm going to have to do something to remain calm. Obviously, there's other games on that day as well, so maybe that'll help. But
you should break your car window. Fun.
I miss the old girl. She's in the shop. For a while here. Can you believe it? $4,200 worth of damage.
For one window?
Not just for the window. They broke a lot more than that, I guess.
What did they break?
Well, the ignition, the door lock, and they're going to replace the door, I guess. I don't know. It's crazy. I got the estimate, and I said, whoa, that's kind of crazy.
You literally have to buy a tank. You just have to buy a tank.
I could probably get my hands on a tank. I take it all the way up there to Ford Field. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Go up to Dallas. Yeah. I could do a lot of things with that thing. Anyway.
Okay. Sorry. I didn't mean it. That was mean.
Well, usually it's Andrew. So you've got two strikes. You've brought it up twice now. Once on air, one off air. Yeah. Just check your ring camera if you do it a third time. That's all I'll say. You thought the Halloween incident was bad. Might do worse than that. So, anyways, anything else from you guys about the Lions and the Crams?
Can't wait. I'm excited. I wish it was Saturday night, to be honest. I was hoping for Saturday night, but Sunday night will do. Anything but Monday was the appropriate choice by the NFL. Really surprised, and I know we're going to talk about it, but like really surprised Bucks-Eagles Monday night.
Yeah. I don't disagree. I don't know why, what the motivation was there.
But, no, I don't have anything else. I think I'm on the record many, many times saying I love Stafford, but this weekend, die like a dog.
Feels like it could be kind of a passing of the torch, right? Storybook ending, you know, like he does actually get Detroit a playoff win kind of indirectly. That's how I hope it plays out. And honestly, I had originally in the score here, I had 34-24 because I feel like everybody thinks it's going to be a shootout close game. And maybe it's just the contrarian in me, but I think we could see a little bit lower scoring and maybe a bigger differential than some think.
You picked a higher score than what you just said.
Correct. But no, I said 34-24.
But you put 34-27.
Correct, because I the media and you guys got in my head about my pick, so I bumped things up. Yeah, I'm a sheep. I just think if you could hold Dallas to 20, I think the Rams get one more touchdown, get you to 27. I think, like you said, it's been a different defense since the Dallas game. They've been holding teams a little bit lower, and I think in the playoff amplitude, I give the Rams a bump here to 27. That's the way I see it.
But you just said it was going to be lower scoring.
I am doing the thing where I try to cover all the bases. So if it's 34-27, I'm going to say that I was right.
Don't put me and Andrew as the media when you're doing what the media does.
Whoa. Playing both sides, you mean?
Yeah, you're playing both sides. You're saying it's going to be lower scoring, but then you picked... Did you pick the highest?
No, Andrew picked highest.
Andrew wants 66.
Andrew's always on the extremes. He's the extreme highs and the extreme lows. That's where he lives.
Okay.
All right. Final records recap from the regular season. I was 181 and 91. Mitch was 177 and 95. And Andrew 159 and 113. I missed the guy from the Sporting News by one game. He was 182 and 90.
No wonder he's got a job.
Yeah, are you more upset? What's more valuable?
He probably doesn't have a broken window.
Or that you lost, like, yeah. But I feel like it stings you that you missed it by one.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Was there a records recap or what happened? I swear as I was at 115 in losses, maybe I just passed the 110 threshold.
No, so Tommy went back and recalculated, and in one of the bye weeks, we added two extra games. So we got off track in like week 13. So we went back and we recounted.
Just like that, we're back.
I like it. It's good competition. We're tight. Things to build off of.
Build on what you can build on is what Dan says. If we want to talk winning percentages, mine was 66.5%. Mitch, you were at 65%. Andrew at, let's see.
Keep it moving.
58%.
Keep the show going.
If we're professional bookies, though, we crushed it. Or like if we're sports bettors, we're coming out on top.
You and I might have to put our brains together on a week next year and just do one for fun. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And we're going to parlay it.
Sorry. I feel like you're being kind of rude to Andrew, but
I can already smell an offer from the two of you.
Let's do Ben, me and you pick the full slate, but Andrew gets to veto at least one game that he feels passionate about.
Yeah, no, he does have that look. He has that feel to him.
He's got that. He's got that itch when like you pick the spicy ones and it's the bologna, but it's all right. We need that.
Seahawks over the Eagles.
I give you a dagger. Hey, Eagles under anybody right now.
Yeah, but that was before the big demise, so that was credit to you.
Yeah. You had the Eagles pegged.
That's foreshadowing, Mitch. Last thing
I don't know what you're talking about.
last thing we have to talk about, or not talk about, but the last thing I'll say about the Lions Rams, don't forget that this is also a sneaky revenge game for Brad Holmes, too. Formerly of the Rams staff. So there you go.
Great call.
Water cooler talk for you if you want to show up the guy next to you at the office. Or girl. Speaking of coaches gone, Ron Rivera loses his job. Arthur Smith loses his job. Mike Vrabel loses his job. Pete Carroll loses his job. That's in addition to the ones that already lost their jobs.
Did he lose his job or did he forfeit his job?
Well, look, we just got to keep this train moving. Frank Wright, Josh McDaniels, Brandon Staley all lost their jobs in the middle of the season. And then Vrabel, now gone in Tennessee. You guys think he would be reunited and go back to the Patriots where he once played?
I said it beforehand. I'd like Vrabel to the Seahawks. If I was a betting man, I would put money on Vrabel to the Seahawks.
Yeah, Vrabel to the Patriots just seems all too storybook. I don't think that's going to happen the way they really want it to play out. I think that Seahawks move is much more interesting. I don't know if I've ever seen him wear short sleeves on the sidelines. He's always got the, like, the water wicking tops on, so fits right in.
Makes sense. I like Dan Quinn to the Patriots. If Belichick moves on, I think Dan Quinn is that, like, business on Sundays, steady Eddie. He's probably gonna get his second shot at coaching. I think Dan Quinn makes sense in New England.
Yes, sir.
Saban returns to the NFL, takes Bill's seat in New England.
We go from dinosaur to fossil at the helm.
And what's the news with Bill? Have you guys heard anything? Obviously, we don't know officially if he's coming back or leaving or getting fired. What's going to happen?
I heard today on the radio that he doesn't necessarily want to leave. And basically, like, if he wants to keep coaching, if the Patriots want to move on, he's trying to decide, like, do I want to uproot my life? Like, so I don't think there's a decision yet.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, other teams are already doing their interviews. So if it's going to happen, you got to have it happen soon. Or you're going to lose out the opportunity on some of these picks. So we'll see. More openings than I thought there would have been. I didn't see the Vrabel one coming. I knew there was some chatter about it, but I thought that'd be asinine for them to do. But they did it. Tennessee's going to just, I think this is going to be cursed from here on out for Tennessee. They might not win a playoff game for 30 years.
Side note, did you see, I believe it's the Titans owner. Not sure who she is exactly. I thought it was the owner. Sat down, gave a word about the decision to let go of Vrabel. I don't know about you guys. It looked like a 90s HVAC commercial that they were trying to film in there. Ben, we need your production team out there. You need to at least get rid of that carpet. That's so old carpet. They needed to fix something in that office.
Oh, boy. I would have to look up the clip that you're speaking of, but I can picture it. And that's not a good thing. If I can picture what you're... If it's what I'm picturing, it's not good. And yeah, we'd be happy to head up the road and give them something that's more impactful than that, for sure. And obviously, we've got the Lions involved in a lot of these head coaching things with Ben Johnson getting interviews, Aaron Glenn getting interviews, and then Mike Disner, the chief operating officer, getting an opportunity to interview for a GM job if the Lions give it to him. So I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to make the prediction that Ben Johnson is going to keep his job as offensive coordinator for the Lions. I don't think he's going to take a head coaching job. Aaron Glenn, I feel like he might leave. But I think Ben Johnson is here and here to stay. Do you guys have any thoughts?
I agree with you. I think Ben Johnson's going to get a lot of opportunities, but really depending on how it ends here, I think he may stay. Aaron Glenn, I think, is going to find a head coaching job. But to be honest with you, there's a couple spots that I think Ben could really excel. One being the Atlanta Falcons. He just needs the quarterback to get it done. He's got a lot of offensive weapons at his disposal there. And then the Chargers already has the quarterback, just missing a few weapons.
I don't know. I think AG is more prone to leave because Ben seems to want to stay. It probably depends on what happens this weekend. I think if they get bounced this weekend and they lose to the Rams, I think AG and Ben Johnson both come back. Send me down a little rabbit hole there, Andrew. The Tennessee Titans owner is Amy Adams Strunk. Her and Gail Benson, the other two female owners in the NFL, didn't know. I honestly thought it was just Sheila Ford Hamp.
Allies everywhere, pal.
See, now this clip that you sent us, this is not what I was picturing at all. This is pretty modern, actually, I think. It looks like it may have been filmed.
Disagree.
Simple
and quick.
It looks like it filmed in a ballroom of a local hotel, personally. Now I'm getting those vibes.
Mitchell, thank you for that jingle, because that 100% sums up that setting.
It's what I thought of, but I think it's just like it's probably just like the Tennessee Titans like corporate office front room.
Now, here's one thing that I will say that we wouldn't have fly on this set is that I could see a power cable there on the left side of the frame. Let's move that stinger, as we would call it, off the screen, and let's move it to maybe another outlet that's not going to be on camera. Huh? You know, just the little things. Maybe that's the only outlet in the whole goddamn building, but if that's not, move it somewhere else.
Can I give you guys one last little nugget on this episode that's getting away from us? Do you guys remember how much the purchasing group that got the Broncos paid for them?
Not off the top of my head.
$4.65 billion. That's crazy.
Well,
it's a lot of digits.
I don't know what the Mavs just sold for, but didn't what's his name? Mark Cuban just bounce out of that organization.
The Commanders just sold for $6 billion. Like, I'd need to see the revenue of these. $6 billion? That's going to take a long time to recoup, you would think.
Hey, you gotta spend money to make money, right? That's what they say. It's a bull market everywhere. So, all right, on to super wild card weekend, as the NFL likes to call it. We'll reset the records here for the NFL. We'll refresh at zero, all three of us, and we'll see who wins the postseason records recap. First and foremost, our first game of the week, Cleveland Browns heading down to Houston, Texas, Saturday, 4:30 Eastern on NBC. This one's in a dome, so no weather factoring this one. Kind of a Deshaun Watson revenge game for the Texans. Obviously, Deshaun's not playing in this one, but the Houston crowd might have a little angst against, a little extra angst against Cleveland in this one. They've got home field advantage. However, I think they're a young team. CJ Stroud's a great quarterback in development, great quarterback, great coach in D'Amico Ryans. But I think they've got some learning still to do. I'll take Flacco and the experience in this one. I'll take the Browns.
With you for every one of those. If the Texans get up early, they may hold on, but I think the Browns defense really, really holds it on and they flow down to the second round.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I think it's the Browns. I think it's been a great, great season for the Tens. The Browns roster is just too good. The Browns roster is very, very well rounded. So I think they figure it out this weekend and get the playoff win.
All righty, the other Super Saturday night game here. This is your Peacock exclusive, and this is going to be your cold game of the week. We got Miami Dolphins heading to Kansas City, taking on the Chiefs. What do we got for temps, Ben? 3 degrees, dropping to 0 by the end of the game. 3 degrees at kickoff. Wind chill is going to sit at about negative 15. Going to be chilly. Going to be windy. I think it's going to be tough for Tua to get some of those passes off. Chiefs win in cold weather.
It's the Chiefs. I mean, if it's this cold, there's just no way. That high-flying offense is going to get brought back down to earth. I think you've already got some banged up players on the Dolphins. It gets a little cold out there and every hit hits a whole lot harder. I think the Chiefs are used to it, and the Chiefs get the win against the Dolphins and lose the week after.
Okay. I've got Kansas City. Give me KFC in this one. But Dolphins proved that they could play in cold weather last year. They went up to Buffalo and played very competitively in that game against Buffalo. I think the weather's not so much the factor here. It's the injuries for me for the Dolphins. They're just piling up. They're not peaking at the right time. I really wanted to take this team further into the playoffs. You know, if you would have asked me midseason, I would have said, I like to see the Dolphins all the way to the AFC Championship and then lose to the Ravens. But man, this one's ugly. I just think it's a bad time to be a Dolphin right now. And Kansas City going to sneak out a win and move on to next week.
Assuming it's on me, but I lost the notes. I'm so sorry. This makes for great radio. Here we are, Pittsburgh Steelers at Buffalo Bills. First game of the day, Sunday, 1 o'clock at CBS. 22 degrees, wind and snow. And I just corrected this. I think I'd corrected it earlier, and then you uncorrected my correction. I don't know what you think you're doing. This the power's gone to your head. Wind, 22 miles an hour. Gusts up to 41 miles an hour. The weather's going to be a huge factor. Could have six inches by game time with another 3 during the game. Go ahead, Ben.
Did you search for Buffalo or Orchard Park?
Do you want to search for Orchard Park? I'll search for Orchard Park again. You know what? My pick is the Bills. Josh Allen has the arm strength and the rotation on the ball to cut through the wind. No TJ Watt for the Steelers. I've said it all year. I think the Steelers are frauds. I think Josh Allen and the Bills get it done. I guess now I'm going to search for Orchard Park, New York weather.
Yeah, it's a little different than Buffalo.
Shut your mouth and make your pick.
Oh, is it me? Oh, well, I think the Steelers underdogs by 10 points in this one. Asinine. I like the Steelers to cover but lose to the Bills.
Wondered where you were going with that one. I think this is the week where Buffalo starts to circle the wagons. They got quite the ideal first round matchup, and they got the team that somehow found their way in. Bills all the way.
So we've got an update on the weather. As I search for the wind specifically, the bigger problem is going to be the snow. Now we're looking at 1 to 2 feet of snow by Sunday. This is going to be This is going to be a big factor here, folks. I'm going to try and get a confirmation on the wind because, as everyone knows, we are a weather-focused podcast. But the snow seems to really be accumulating quickly.
I've got the wind here. It's been bouncing around. You were correct with the 20 to 40, and then they changed it to a slightly less wind, and now it's gone back to more wind. Now we're still 20 to 30 miles per hour for Sunday. Saturday, luckily this game's not on Saturday because it'd be crazy. We're talking about 50-mile-an-hour gusts of wind on Saturday with, like you said, potentially heavy, wet snow and then cooling off into Sunday. So, yeah, wild one.
The problem is your weather source, but we can move on.
Look, I can see where that screenshot is from, and I know it's from AccuWeather, and AccuWeather sucks. So
you suck. You suck.
Isn't it crazy, though, that I can tell from the font that that's AccuWeather?
It's concerning about you and your social life, yeah.
Well, are you shopping for cars, by the way? I see you got a car advertisement.
No, just continue on. You're the next up, Ben.
Oh, the Packers. They head down to Dallas to play the Cowboys on Sunday, 4:30 Fox. This one's in a dome. No weather here. Jerry's World. Mike McCarthy versus his old team. Not the first time they've played, but the first time in a little bit here. And so it's a little bit of a revenge game for McCarthy / Green Bay in this one. Dallas has not beat Green Bay since 2016. So a little bit riding on this one. I really want to take the Packers. I really do. I really, really hope that we'll see a Packers victory. I know that sickens me to say. This is the lesser of two evils kind of game for me. But Dallas at home. I'll take the Cowboys.
Thought I was going to have to change my pick there. I was ready to follow you to the end of the earth on this one, and then I thought you were going to pick the Packers, and I was about ready to hop off that train. So glad you took Dallas, and I'll join you.
It's Dallas. I think Dallas overpowered. I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a lot better game than people think. But yeah, Dallas at home against the Packers. You have to. It sucks.
Yeah, Dallas trying to round out the no losses at home this year and run into the playoffs. Then your Monday night game, 8:15, you've got the struggling Eagles going to Tampa Bay to take on the Buccaneers. 63 degrees, pretty nice, but we got some thunderstorms rolling in. 70% chance of those guys, not so nice. Don't know about you guys, just watched Jason Kelce address the rest of the Philadelphia Eagles, and that got me pumped up. I think the Eagles find a way to turn it around. I think that might be their spark plug here. Let's go, Eagles.
I'm sorry for the pause. I'm stuck. I want to pick the Eagles, but they look so bad. They have looked so bad. I think this is more disrespectful. I think the line on this was like Eagles. I don't know. It was -4.5. I think last time I looked, that's more disrespectful to the Bucs than I think the Steelers line. I'm going to pick the Eagles. I really just, it's begrudgingly. I don't know. This one's ugly. I don't even want to watch this.
I don't really either. I don't want to take the Eagles because I think that would cement us all with the same picks across every game. But I'm going to do it. So I'm going to take the Eagles. I just don't know. Like you said, Mitch, I don't know. The Eagles should win this game. And, I mean, it may depend on the status of AJ Brown. And, you know, I like to see that Kelce is addressing the team, hopefully lighting a fire under their ass, but man, we're waiting Philadelphia. You better hope you win this game for a lot of the coaching staff. If you want to keep your jobs on that coaching staff. So I'll take the Eagles. All right, that's a super wild card weekend. We will kick it to ourselves to talk a little college football. Congratulations to the Wolverines on winning the championship.
Okay, let's go.
All right, thanks to Tommy for making the edit there, and thanks to us for kicking it to us. We've got the college football expert back again. One last time here in the college football world, Michigan national champions, and then we'll talk about Nick Saban, the big breaking news today. So Drew, you said this after the game, you said it's going to take a while to set in. So has it officially set in that Michigan is your college football national champion of this year?
I got to be honest. I really don't think it has. It just doesn't feel real. maybe once they do the parade, I don't know when they're doing that. I think potentially Saturday, maybe then I'll finally register, but I don't know. I'm still riding the high right now. We'll see when it actually finally hits that Michigan is the national champs.
And the college football expert title, folks, that's actually no joke. Drew nailed the score of Michigan both games, the semifinal Rose Bowl and the national championship. He had 27 for Michigan against Alabama, and he had 34 against Washington. So how does that feel that you nailed both of the scores? Obviously, you didn't get it 100% right, but in my eyes, you're just about perfect there with the scores.
Yeah, you know, there's always room for improvement, but I do think you guys are going to kind of have to up my contract. We might have to go into some talks because otherwise I might be on a Fox Big Noon Kickoff taking over the Bears gig next year. But,
yeah,
you know, I'm open to contract negotiations, but it feels good to be right, especially when Michigan's winning.
Yeah. Andrew, you got something?
I was just going to let him know he could replace Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee show. I heard he was getting kicked out of there, so there's an open seat for you, bud. Feel free to apply.
Yeah, I call it the second. He doubled down the other day, too, so you might be right. There might be an opening coming up pretty soon. But
Andrew,
then again, Pat McAfee's also doubling down, so they might be a whole new show somewhere.
Yeah, it might be back to YouTube for Pat. Andrew, once again, we're on the same page. I almost said that as well. Didn't want to get too political here on the podcast. You know, that might shake some feathers. So I didn't want to go down that rabbit hole, quite literally. But yeah, I didn't. But it's hilarious that you brought that up because that's same wavelength, brother. After the game, you know, obviously they do the interview with Jim Harbaugh. Once again, displays his unique ability to just talk about anything but the game. Starts talking about the confetti. I don't know if you were, you know, doing victory laps at that point, Drew, but did you see that? He starts looking up at the confetti and goes, there's a story in every piece of confetti. All thousands of those pieces have a story.
I did see that. I was pretty sure I had just finished my shot of Grey Goose to celebrate, you know.
Nice.
And yeah, he is just a different individual. I mean, people say he's weird, he's quirky. He's probably all that lumped in together. I mean, I don't know if anyone has seen the one comedian who does the videos with him and Nick Saban, and he does them pretty spot on. He's just a different guy. I really don't. You can't really peg him. So when people complain about who he is as a person, I mean, how do I want to word it? It's really hard to peg him as a person because you really don't know when he's being serious or if he's just genuinely that different. So that's Jim Harbaugh for you.
I think if you really want to peg him down as a human being, I think you got to go back to his roots. And once again, we just have to look at Papa and Mama Harbaugh and, you know, just really peg them down. Just got to understand them.
You want to peg him?
I didn't realize I said that now. And now Andrew started saying that. But I did see Jack Harbaugh. He got brought on stage and he got some more time to shine.
They're twins, which is amazing.
Oh, I know. They are a spinning image. And so when you say Harbaugh's weird, I'm sure his dad is cut from the same cloth, clearly.
Yeah, I think we had a couple people that we know that were in attendance to the game. I don't want to leak their names, but on a certain individual's story, I saw it looked like they got a picture with them or with Jim's dad. And then he was surrounded by cameras. So dude's a celebrity when he's walking the concourse, that's for sure. How old is he?
He's got to be up there. He might not even know where he's at, to be honest.
Best football coach Jim has ever met.
So what do you think about Harbaugh? What do you think? We talked about it a couple episodes ago about what his future looks like. What do you think now that he's got a ring? What do you think he's going
to
do?
I mean, I personally think he's going to go to the NFL. I think Jim, as competitive as he is, he really does want to win a Super Bowl. I know last year when he went through the whole deal with the Vikings, he came back and said, you know, I've always wanted to win a Super Bowl, but a national title, he's like, that's pretty darn good too. Well, you just got your national title. So I think he's trying to get back, win a Super Bowl like his brother. Because, I mean, we all know it. I mean, college football is awesome, but the NFL's king. So as competitive as he is, I think he's going to look to take an NFL job, but just like we were talking about how his personality is, I think it's going to have to be the right fit for him to go because he's going to have his picks. And if he doesn't get that right pick, you know, I could see him staying at Michigan for a little bit longer, make a little more money until something opens up that he likes.
Do you have any theories where he goes, Drew?
So the earliest, I mean, if I had to pick a team right now in the NFL, I would say the Chargers. I think it was Adam Schefter that reported earlier in the season. It might have been as early as early November that Harbaugh has said that he's really liked Justin Herbert as a QB. And he's from the West Coast, so I could see probably his wife wanting to get back out there. They might be getting a little sick of the Michigan winter. So if I had a theory, I would say the Chargers.
What do you think about the Seattle job opening up now with Pete Carroll gone? You think there's any chance there?
Absolutely no chance. You'd be dumb to take that job if you're a coach. Unless you're like a college coach that just wants to try to get in the NFL, but you're going to be out of job in probably 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, no quarterback of the future there. Geno Smith aging by the day.
No.
So if let's say, you know, predictability here, predict the future. If Harbaugh does go to the NFL, Jim, you know, obviously,
yep.
Obviously it's going to be, you know, a new coach, probably Sean Moore, right?
I mean, more than likely, but we'll see what happens with the Saban saga. I mean, the dust is going to settle because it's going to be open season for a lot of schools and a couple whenever they do hire who they're hiring. Because, I mean, Alabama's not just going to hire some Joe Schmo. They're going to take a head coach from somebody, and then that school is going to have to find a head coach, and it's going to go so on. So I would believe if Harbaugh moves on from Michigan, Sharon Moore is the obvious choice, though, and I'd be fairly comfortable with that as a Michigan fan.
What do you think that means for the future of Michigan? You know, you think there's a level of rebuild there, or do you think they don't miss a beat?
The whole rebuild will come down to whether JJ goes to the draft or not. I think right now he's on the big board. He's projected, obviously everyone has their opinions, he's projected 4th or 5th QB taken at this point. So whether he comes back, I know he's always said he's wanted to be a captain at Michigan, and he hasn't been one of those yet. So whether he comes back or not, that'll be defined whether it's a rebuild for whoever the coach is.
Drew, let me ask you a question about JJ, because I, especially in the back half of the season, when the competition's been a little more stiff, he's not played well. He makes his best plays and throws on the run. Yep. Like, what's your assessment? Because I think a lot, because I've seen the same thing that you've seen, like 4th or 5th quarterback taken. I think that's a reach for NFL teams, but I'd like your perspective on JJ as a player and how he might fit in the pros.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of projectability. He has the talent. The thing is with Michigan QBs, they're never going to be asked. They're never going to throw for the yards. They're never going to have the highlight tapes of your Oregon, your Washington, you know, your USC quarterbacks. But what the scouts are seeing is another mobile quarterback that can throw on the run. You know, you have your Patrick Mahomes, you have your Josh Allens, you have your Herberts, you have guys that can get out of the pocket and make throws. Whether he's, you know, that 4th or 5th QB in the draft, that's to be determined. I would prefer if he came back. Obviously, just as a Michigan fan, I think it would also help his draft stock. Because next year, he would be the focus of the Michigan offense. I mean, they're still going to run the ball, but he's going to get to toss around a little bit more after losing Blake Corm and potentially Donovan Edwards, whether he stays or not.
Speaking of those two, is there anything, you know, who's next in line to replace Corum?
So Donovan Edwards is the obvious choice. You know, going into the year this year, he had already decided. He said, I'm going to the NFL next year. I know he didn't have the year he wanted to. So whether that stays true is to be determined. You know, I think he should come back. He's got to put up some better tape. But other than that, if he was to go, you know, it would be Khalil Mullins, who has actually looked better than Donovan for most of the year. And then probably the true freshman coming in, Jordan Marshall, who was the Gatorade Player of the Year for Ohio.
Flipping sides to the other side of the ball, Mikey Sainristil, right? All right. He's headed for the draft as well, right?
Yes, he is. And he's going to be taken a lot higher than some people were initially thinking. I mean, he's only 2 years removed from being a wide receiver. And I know Jim's brother, John, said a couple weeks ago that he's definitely been going up the the NFL scouts draft boards.
God.
Yeah, the question, Drew, was you've got to be coming back on for draft prep, right? As we get ready for the NFL draft.
I can do that. I can do that.
Okay.
We'll have to negotiate that with Tommy and his agent.
Yep.
But yeah, as he said, prices just went up. So
business is booming.
Have to get a few more advertisers here to float the boat, so to speak. it'd be great to have you on sometime, you know, maybe in April before the cruise. Obviously, we'll be on the cruise during the draft, you know.
Oh, wow. We'll have to have the big screens up.
Yeah, I mean, night one, we won't be on the cruise yet. So we'll be able to see round one.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
The remaining rounds, yeah.
You know, we'll get to see Caleb Williams' career come to a crashing halt.
Yeah, what do you think about him?
I'm thinking that I wouldn't want to leave my USC penthouse to go to Chicago, but yeah, that's a pretty good paycheck, though.
I think Eberflus saved his job on the promise that you give me the quarterback that I want and we'll be much better.
We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the second half of the year, the Bears look a little stronger. I think he saved his job there, too. But,
even though they just cleaned house with everyone on offense. Every offensive coach just got canned.
Yeah, probably needed, though, you know, with what that production has been. So, Drew, you know, big college football guy. Now you kind of transition a little bit more watching NFL. Jim Harbaugh just got the championship. So do you think John Harbaugh is going to get his second Super Bowl this year?
That's hard to say. I mean, like I said, I don't follow the NFL like I do college, and it's not even close. I mean, I see who the Lions play. I watch their games, and that's about it. But I would say when the Lions played the Ravens, as you guys well know, they looked like a tough out for anybody. So whether they win it all or not, who knows? The NFL is so hard to predict, whereas college, it's a little easier to kind of see who's going to win. So we'll see.
Yeah, the parity's there in the NFL for sure.
And I do think college with the 12 team playoff and us heading towards the two mega conferences, I do think it's going to kind of come to be a lot similar to the NFL.
Ooh, yeah, that's a great question I had for you that I didn't write down. Was the landscape's going to change?
Yeah,
by a lot, right? So, as a big fan, are you kind of embracing these big changes with the expanded playoff and all the conferences changing over?
I mean, in regards to the bowl season has come, yes. I mean, the bowls are an absolute joke now unless you're in the 4-team playoff. So going to the 12-team playoff, at least you're going to have a couple more games that matter, less people sitting out and better football games. I really don't know when it comes to the two mega conferences. It's probably too early to see. It's going to be a lot weirder as a fan to be, you know, we're so used to if your team loses one game, your season's done, you know, you lose two, it's curtains. So now with your team to be able to lose potentially 2-3 games and still make the playoff, it's definitely going to make it more engaging for fans. Cause you know, if your team does lose, you're still not out. You know, it's kind of like almost like you said, that NFL aspect, but yeah, time will tell.
It's going to be drama filled, and there's still going to be people upset that their team didn't make the 12 team playoff, right? Just like there is with the 4-team now, you're going to have people, you know, like you said, with teams with several losses and, you know, under the microscope of which of those losses was worse than, you know, team A versus team B, right?
Oh, exactly. I mean, if you look at Michigan's schedule next year, I mean, obviously there's a lot of things up in the air, but Michigan could easily lose. I mean, you go from being a national champs to potentially losing maybe 3-4 games next year with the schedule they have, depending on who their quarterback is.
When would they play Washington again? Like in conference?
Washington. So they play them next year. So the rematch will be next year. Yep.
Okay.
They play Texas, Washington, USC, Ohio State, Michigan State, Oregon. So for all the people that were complaining about Michigan's schedule this year, they can get put in the corner.
Will they ever play Notre Dame again?
That's a question for Notre Dame.
True.
They're really happy that they didn't play Michigan the last 3 years. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
If you can't beat Marshall, you're not going to beat Michigan.
It's bad. Bad down there in South Bend. All right. Well, it's got to be a tough time, though, too, for you. Bittersweet, right? Obviously, a huge end of your season with Michigan winning it, but now the withdrawals start, right?
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, a little bit of like, it doesn't get better than this. Like, what's next? You know, and with the season, but that's why I'm not thinking about that. Let's soak up the national title for the remaining months until spring ball comes around.
Just gave him Sunday scaries, Ben.
Yeah.
My bad. You know, we'd like to tug on the heartstrings here on the Lion Share podcast. We'd like to really dig deep. It's gotta be a better feeling though than usual in that where you, you know, if Michigan misses the national championship this year, you might not even watch the national championship if they're not present, you know, based on how they get bounced out. And then you get the off season and then you're ready to be hurt again. Yeah. We know that as a Lions fan.
Oh, exactly.
Take some time and then it all feels right again. So did we get a verbal on you joining us back for, you know, a couple months down the road here for the draft?
Oh, 100%. You let me know, I'll be on.
Great. Any other questions from the gallery here?
I just think, how have we not addressed the elephant in the room right now?
What's that?
Nick Saban has retired.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You touched on it quick
because I was thinking the same thing, and then I was like, oh no, you said the thing about Nick Saban. I'll hit you with one, Drew. Shortlist for Saban replacements: Dan Lanning, Kalen DeBoer, Dabo, and Mike Norvell. What name jumps out?
So as you guys have seen, probably like me, Dan Lanning is the front runner. He also has a $20 million buyout, which, I mean, Alabama can print their own money, so that really doesn't matter. Definitely, if I'm Alabama, I'm not hiring Dabo. I would probably go either Kalen DeBoer or Dan Lanning. You know, go out west with those type of athletes at Alabama, you're going to be hard to stop. But I think the name that a lot of people are forgetting, our good old boy Urban Meyer at Fox Sports.
Oh, God.
You bring him down into Alabama, they might not lose a game for a long, long time. Especially with a quarterback like Jalen Milroe.
So, it's just the type of scumbag Alabama needs right now.
Oh, exactly.
I don't even know. What's the guy that predicts everything? Nostradamus? I think this might actually come true now.
Clairvoyant.
I mean, there was a time this year where he was legit considering taking the Michigan State job for the money they were offering him. Like I said, money won't be a problem for Alabama. And if you want a good coach and you want to put all your morals and ethics aside, which Alabama has clearly done for a long time, I mean, Urban Meyer's your guy. You're going to win games. You're not going to miss the playoff. And you're definitely not going to be a drop-off from Saban.
Vegas has Urban Meyer 10-1 to be the next coach. Dan Lanning's 3-1 for the kids at home. A little bit of a shocker and no chance in hell. Deion Sanders 6-1.
Whoa. Oh man, they would. No, I can't even say that on air if they hired Deion Sanders.
That would be
wild.
That would be insane. I'm surprised he's got better odds than Urban does.
Yeah, it's weird. I think what you'll see is the opposite. I wouldn't be surprised to see some Bama players go out to Colorado. If nothing else, you can go build your brand at Colorado.
Yep.
Right.
You can get paid. I mean, that's the thing with NIL. NIL, you know, it's spread out the town a lot, you know, but it is what it is.
Yeah, it's just gonna be weird. We're so used to seeing Saban out there. I mean, we knew this day was gonna eventually come. It always does.
I sent a message to Ben earlier. A lot of people have been saying Michigan retired Nick Saban. Not me, but a lot of people are saying that, you know. They made him transfer from Michigan State and then he retires after his last game against Michigan, so I don't know.
True.
I think they stole his retirement announcement. I bet he was going either way. He just wanted to be able to be holding the trophy and saying, like, this is my last ride.
Yeah. And I did hear things earlier in the year that he was going to be on the way out. I mean, but you always hear stuff and you're never sure. But I think in this day and age with, like you said, the recruiting now, NLI, and, you know, not everyone is given Dodge Chargers, or now everyone is giving Dodge Chargers, and he's not the only one, so making it a little hard to coach down in Alabama.
Drew, you really struggle with NIL, huh?
I know, I said it again, didn't I? It's a tongue twister.
It's part of the thing, man. We all have it. I mean, we had the Avatar incident before air, before taping here. So,
well, we digress.
We digress. Mitch, was old Jimbo Fisher on that list at all?
Fuck! If you're Jimbo Fisher, you're never working again. He's gonna come on as an analyst, spot analyst. He's got it made. Nobody has it better in life right now than Jimbo Fisher. I think he'll make some appearances on maybe game day or whatever he wants to be, those Fox Sports, whatever. I don't think Jimbo coaches again. Drew, do you?
Yeah, I was a joke, by the way.
It was really, so. Really funny for you, Ben.
I mean, why would he? Like, he got. I mean, the worst part of that is they Texas A&M paid him how many million to not coach their team. I mean, that was probably a little kick in the balls. But hey. Just like the coach for New Mexico State, when he said, I don't need the money, I can go drink margaritas on the beach, I'd be doing the same thing if I was Jimbo Fisher.
1,000%.
All right, Drew, we'll let you get out of here. Thanks for being here. We'll be in talks with the agent.
See ya.
I like it, Kudgy.
All right, closing time on this here podcast that is called The Lion's Share. This is the last episode before we'll see the outcome of the Lions and the Rams. Tune in to us this weekend for a recap of the game. Of course, we're going to be locked in on this one, as a lot of you shareholders will be as well. I'm sure this is a big day for everybody coming up. Let's not make the moment bigger than it is. Let's stay focused. Talking to myself here to not overhype myself, because it's going to be an electric atmosphere. I'm going to be locked in. I'm hoping the Lions are locked in. Hope the fans are locked in. Let's talk about a W. Let's hope that we don't have to talk too much about this, but looking forward to next season. We've got the schedule release. We don't know the dates of these games. I'm sure you guys saw the document here. Only 3 outdoor games for the Lions next season. That's the lowest by any team. So that's good news if we're talking future. And we'll talk more about it when the time comes. But right now, we're focused on the Rams, of course. And I was going to do a live update. We've got the Spurs taking on the Pistons tonight. 2 of the worst in the NBA. Who wants it less kind of game? So I'm going to try to look up that score right. I just searched for Spurs.
I do not like NBA basketball at all. How can the Spurs be so bad still? Like, in the NBA, you get the number one pick, and that, like, is supposed to instantly make you better. Especially when Wemby was supposed to be, like, that guy. Like, the Cavs drafted LeBron, and they instantly started being in the playoffs every year.
Yeah, Wemby is that guy, I think. I mean, the jury's still out, but he's played very well. I think it's more Popovich. He's kind of off his rocker. That's what I hear from the Spurs fans, at least. Live update, though. It's halfway through the third quarter right now, and the Spurs are up by 15. So not looking good for the old Pistonians. Pistons heading for loss number 35.
What else?
That's true.
That's good. Pistons loss means Lions win, traditionally.
Okay. Like where your head's at. All right. Well, we will see you all on the next episode. Let's go, Lions. Matthew Stafford. We salute you, brother. Enemies between the lines, though. Whopper, Whopper, Junior, double, triple, Whopper, flame grill, taste with perfect toppers. I rule this day. Lettuce, mayo, pickle, ketchup, it's okay if I don't want that impossible. Oh, bacon, Whopper, any Whopper, my way, Whopper, my way. Whopper, 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 Junior, double, triple, Whopper, flame grill, taste with perfect toppers. I rule this day. Think straight, I've been farting, this smells so bad.